going on social media and having a little song. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, this song was inspirational. That is munching. You need to stop munching and spend time and say, Lord, I worship you, till you worship and you forget your surroundings. There is too much munching around. And it's time for us to get to that place and desire God for real.
Life is a journey. And as in every journey, you need a roadmap. Today on Your Roadmap to Success, you will receive detailed instructions on how to navigate through life successfully. Welcome to Your Roadmap to Success with author and teacher, Neil Achampong.
Protocols of an encounter. Protocols of an encounter. I am going to make a statement. If you want to write it down, please do. God never moves on the basis of necessity. He only moves by your faith. God never. He's never moved based on need. If God moved on the basis of need, there will be no need on earth. Secondly, I want to state that God never shows up until he is needed. God never shows up until he is needed. If he feels he is not needed, he doesn't show up. Are you with me? Go over those notes and say it to me. God never shows up until he is needed. How many of you attend a party that you've not been invited? I never do. You don't invite me for a party, I won't show up because I won't get crushed. The God that you and I serve never shows up until he feels what? Needed. So I want to share with you briefly a few things you can do to initiate an encounter. Last week, I just mentioned them. Today, I want to delve into them. Number one is that there has to be an insatiable hunger and thirst for God. An insatiable what? An insatiable hunger and thirst. I want to remind you that as a child of God, if God never senses that you need him, he will not reveal himself to you. Are you guys with me? If faith is built on an encounter, then I must learn to initiate an encounter so that my faith will be built to move mountains. There are many mountains we face. There are things that we are dealing with. There is a level of prayer that would only bring these things to pass. But it begins with an insatiable desire. Let me cut back on that language. God wants you to desire him. And it should not be a simple desire. It should be the kind of desire that he knows you want him. How many of you want God? But are you doing what it takes to show him you want him? Married couples, let me ask you a question. If, ladies, a guy comes to you and says, let me turn to my own wife. I love you. I like you. You listen to those words and it means nothing until he begins to show that he wants you. As long as they say it and it's just a desire, it means nothing. Your desire must translate into action. That everything about you is that you want him. And you are not going to let up, but want him. Are you guys with me today? As long as we play it the way we are playing it, we will not see God. He's there. He is everywhere, those of you who are theological. But you must understand that God is everywhere, omnipresent, but there is his manifest presence where he shows up in a certain place and things happen there. He's everywhere, but there's things happen everywhere. It is only where he manifests his presence in a particular environment where you see the tangible things happen. But it must happen on the plane that you are desiring him. Are you with me? Popular scripture. Go with me to the book of Jeremiah 29. And I want you to look at the 13th verse. Oh, bless his holy name. I am trusting the Lord that we will become a people who are seriously desiring him. Jeremiah 29. And I need you to look there at the 13th verse. Jeremiah 29. We all read verse 11. I know the thoughts I think towards you and all of that stuff, but we forget that the condition is in 13. Are you in Jeremiah 29? Look at 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all of your... Come and talk to me. God says, anytime you seek me, you will find me, but there is a condition. What is that condition? Not part of it, but all of it. You will seek me, and so you can be in church for 20 years. Until you search for God with all of your heart, you will not find him. You can blame it on other people, but the problem is you. The reason for which we want to have an encounter is because it births in me this conviction that can never be erased. I told you how you cannot use any theological means to dissuade me from speaking in tongues, because it came through an encounter. And once that happened in my life, you can quote every scripture you want. I'll tell you my encounter with God. That this thing did not even happen when people were praying for me. Something took place. And the time has come for us to stop playing church and really want God. How many of you would stay in a marriage if you realize your spouse doesn't want you? Would you? Would you? It's good. It's all ladies here. Would you? Would you? You're not sure? Would you? Nobody is going to stay in there. Why? And even if you are in there, you are wishy-washy about it because you sense that this one does not want me. God will show up in a place where he is actually needed. And it is shown not by desire, but it is shown by what we are saying. How that we are saying, come and breathe in me. Come and live in me. You will search for me and find me when you do it with all of your... Talk to me. All of your... Not part of it. All of it. This is the time for Christians to stop arguing over, should I drink or should not I drink? If you want to wield power, it comes at a cost. And the cost is you must want God. All of God. Not part of God. All of him. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, look at the sixth verse. If you will read with me. Matthew chapter 5. God says, if you want me, it's got to be all of you, not part of you. All of you, not part of you. Are you in Matthew chapter 5? Verse 6. He says, blessed are they which hunger and test after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who hunger and test after righteousness, for they shall be. Let me illustrate something to you. Suppose these ladies have food served. And the food that is served, one is 4 grams. The other is 0.5 of a gram. This is what? And that is? If we ask them to take food and eat, which one do you think, and please don't answer it for them, they can answer. Which one do you think you would choose? And why? You have microphones. Talk to me. Which one would you choose?
For now, I'll choose 0.5.
You would choose 0.5 because you are trying to what? Lose weight. I'm sure I'm going to get the same answer. 0.5. They don't understand where I'm going. They are choosing 0.5 because they don't have a hunger for food. They have taken their time to suppress their hunger. And because of the level of their hunger, they can only eat 0.5. But suppose I come on the scene. I choose 4 grams instead of 0.5. What is motivating my choice? It is the level of what? I rest my case. You can go back. The level of your hunger will determine the level to which you are filled. Many people have become satisfied with 0.4 gram because they don't have that much hunger for God. We are talking about desiring Him, having a hunger, this kind of hunger that is not ordinary. Are you guys with me? The Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and test after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Let me take this a bit further. The more I hunger, the more I eat. But if I am very hungry and I'm capable of eating 4 grams, but I start munching before I get to the food. Do you understand munching? Start eating snacks. By the time I get to this food, would I be able to eat? Why not? Because I have satisfied my hunger with junk, stuff that really does not fill me. And that is what many believers are doing these days. When we come to church and we sing, look what the Lord has done, we must get to 4 grams. 0.5 and snacks is not enough. Going on social media and having a little song, oh, hallelujah, oh, this song was inspirational. That is munching. You need to stop munching and spend time and say, Lord, I worship you, till you worship and you forget your surroundings. Are you guys with me? There is too much munching around. And it's time for us to get to that place and desire God for real. What are the characteristics of my desire? I am not desiring God for power. I am desiring to know Him, period. Because the more I get to know Him, the more power will come into my life. You are not desiring God to have a good preaching. You are desiring to know Him. Whenever your desire is for money, you will find money, but you won't find God, because God is not money. Are you guys with me? Today, a father who is desiring that his children will pray and you don't pray, how would the children pray? Tell me. I realize my kids love soccer because I watch it with them and I go to the field with them. They love it. In the same way, if they have to become prayer warriors, I must pray for them to hear me and see me pray so they can learn it. Are you guys with me? If we will have an encounter, it will be at a result of the fact that we were desiring God. The book of 1 Samuel, please turn with me, chapter 3. 1 Samuel, chapter 3. 1 Samuel, chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 to 4 if you have it. 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. The word precious means it was hard to come by. It was not common in those days to hear God's word. There was no open vision or open revelation. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place. Everybody say in his place. And his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord when the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down there. Eli was lying in his own place. But Samuel was lying close to the ark. Let's see who heard the voice of God. Verse 4. The Lord called Samuel and he answered, "Here I am." It is not coincidence that Samuel heard the voice of God because he lay close to the ark. Where is your desire? What are the things you are desiring? Many of us spend countless months to plan parties, but you cannot spend countless months to plan a retreat that you will go on your own. How do you find God? You tell me. We can pray for revival, but until your attitude about revival change, we'll be praying for a long time. Today, I did not allow us to pray for the children because I realized that they don't have a desire. They need to be taught. Until that desire is ramped up, we will keep praying and nothing will happen to them. But I want them to understand this thing is real if you will go after it. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. God is going to fill you to the degree of your hunger. Turn to the person sitting next to you and ask them, how bad do you want this? How bad? How bad do you want your situation to change? How bad do you want some things to change around in your life? The faith to move those things can only be gotten in a place of encounter. And encounters cannot be initiated. That leads me to my second point, with cheap prayer. So the second thing to initiate an encounter, let me use the word intense prayer. I didn't say prayer. I said, talk to me. What? Intense. The prayer must be intense. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. What did the Bible say? Men ought always to pray and not to. Men ought always to and not to. In the Bible days, there were a lot of things that were said about men, but the word men in this context is not referring to the male, it is referring to both of us. People, humans, Christians, we ought to pray and never faint. Pastors, pray. Business people, pray. You who work in the government sector, pray. The politician must pray. Every single one of us must pray. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about intense prayer. You see, there are some things that they happen for you because you pray 5 minutes and you see it. So you have limited prayer to that. Until one day you are faced with the giant of Gath. Because that day will come. There's going to be a day you realize you fast, you pray, whatever you're doing, the thing is not what? Moving. But you need to keep praying because the Bible says, shall not God avenge his very elect who cry to him how? Day and night. Is your prayer day and night? Psalm 63, look at the first one with me, verse 1 and verse 2. Psalm 63, We want an encounter. And let me rush through this thing really quick, because I really want us to get into prayer. I don't want us to talk about prayer. We must pray the prayer. I have seen all throughout this nation many people praying for revivals, but the prayer meetings last 2 minutes. You can't have it like that. God never shows up at a place he is not needed. Are you in Psalm 63? Oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for you in a dry and testy land. What this verse actually means is that I am going to test for God with all my elements in such a way that it is as if I am in a dry place. You remember the 4 grams and the point? For the more hungry you are, the more you are asked for. If he is in a dry place, it means he's really thirsty. He says, I will long for thee in a dry land where there is no water. So if there is no water, he is running everywhere looking for water. Why is he doing that? Verse 2, let's look at it. Why is he doing that? Psalm 63, verse 2. He says, to see your power and your glory. So I have seen it in the sanctuary. Can I open the scripture up to you? Can I open the scripture up to you? What he is saying is this. The power and the glory of God manifest when believers gather. Never hide behind the idea that the building is not the church, so you don't show up in the places where believers are. David is saying, anytime I enter the sanctuary, I see power. I see the glory of God. I want that thing to also show up when I'm by myself. This is why I will seek you early. It means when you guys lead us to sing, your focus is not how nice your voice is. It is so that we will see power and glory. When power is manifested, cancer is healed. When power is manifested, my issues are dealt with. When power is manifested, things begin to happen. When the glory of God comes, you look at yourself and you realize you are nobody. So you start checking yourself and start living right. Are you guys with me here today? If I am going to initiate an encounter, it will not be the way we are doing it. Today, something needs to change. I said today, I didn't hear you. Something needs to change. And what is it that needs to change? I'm not talking about intense prayer. Does not mean you are shouting, but it means that you are literally every second, every moment, there you are under your breath, you are uttering, you are connecting with God. There is something that is taking place. Even the Bible says that as many who are led by the Spirit of God, they are there. Did he say as many who are led by their head and how smart they are? I believe the church ought to return to a place of prayer. This is why, and I realize that the schedules in this country is so difficult. That is why we have slept one night with the king for you. 10 hours. Because I understand that not 5 minutes prayer will bring God down. If you come and watch it, anytime we gather, the first few hours, we don't see much. Till when we start getting past a certain time, then all of a sudden you can feel that something is taking place in the room. Quit praying 2 minutes. It is not a good attitude. The only time you should pray 2 minutes is, Lord, bless me with some money. That's 2 minutes. But to lay in his presence, it goes beyond it. Yeah, which father will let his children ask so many times? Tell me, which father? All the fathers in the room. You let your kids ask over and over and over. You either tell them, I'm not giving it to you, or here. Right? As soon as they open your mouth, you give it to them. So prayer primarily is not about asking. It's about the next verse. Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 29. That is what I call the mandate of prayer. What are we doing now? We are learning how to initiate an encounter. Luke chapter 9. Verse 29. Please read with me if you can, shall we? And as he prayed, and as he prayed, and as he prayed, And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering as he prayed. So when you pray 5 minutes, would your countenance be altered? He's talking about transformation. That he says real transformation does not happen through addiction recovery program. Real transformation takes place in the place of prayer. When you are on your knees calling upon, because the church have refused to pray, we have also have addiction recovery programs. 12 steps, 5 steps, until you are in remission. Then later on, Satan shows up and the person realized they were not in remission. The real remission comes when the Holy Spirit comes to take residence. Are you guys hearing me? Intense prayer. Everybody say intense prayer. Say that with me, intense prayer. The third thing that will help you initiate an encounter, and I'll close, is that we must fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Please notice that the third one will help you with the first two. Because sometimes you don't know what to say in your prayer. The Holy Spirit will pray for you. Are you with me? Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When we were growing up, we went to church. And at the close of service, we recited the grace. You remember the grace? Come on, say it with me. Ready, go. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. For some people, that's where it all ends, recital. There ought to be a conscious walk with the Holy Spirit. When you fellowship with Him, He will do something for you. Please, let me break that word down. The word fellowship is translated from a Greek word called koinonia. Koinonia. Say that with me. Koinonia. What it means is to share with, to have in common with, to be involved with. So when we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, He is not far away. We get involved with Him through prayer. We get involved with Him by giving Him our hearts. We get involved with Him. We become common with Him. In other words, you get to that place where it's like, He's here, you are there. You are there, He's there. Not when you are praying, Holy Ghost, come. Because you are not sure if He's there. Holy Ghost, come can start from the beginning. But you must get to that place where you are sharing the same space. It's you are in the same place. Are you guys understanding where I'm going? So let me end on this note. It's a decision you have to make. I understand sometimes there are people who just want the religion. I won't fight you. I will still encourage you, move past it. Because if it's like that, you will never see God. The same way you don't go to places you are not needed, God doesn't show up in places that we don't want to see Him. One of the easiest ways to manifest the presence of God is not when you are praying by yourself. Just so you know. He says, where two or three are gathered. So whenever the body meets, it is easy to attract His presence. Because somebody might be weak, the other person may not be. The other person may be weak, the other one may not be. And the corporate anointing draws His presence down.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text radio to 301-696-8555. Or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.